Training Our Minds to Receive is the title this morning. Training Our Mind to Receive. Training Our Mind to Receive. Receive what? Receive from God. It's the first Sunday in July. July 7th, 2013. I don't know about you, but more than half the year is gone. And I keep on saying, God, where did this time go? Lord says, time is not slowing down for anybody. I got things for you to go do. Go get it done. Because he's coming home soon. Amen. The title this morning, once again, is Training Our Mind to Receive. Now, I was thinking about this message a little bit. And my wife and I, you know, we own a pet. We have a cat. And it's amazing you can train your cat to do interesting things. And then I was thinking about people who have dogs and they train their dogs to do new tricks. And then, you know, my wife and I are really trying to get our bodies back into shape other than mine is round. I'm trying to get it into some muscular form. And in order to do that, we need to train our body to in order to get firm muscles. But what's really important is we need to train our mind to receive from Jesus. There's training that goes on all the time that we need to understand and hear from God. This morning I want to share with you about the mind and that we need to set our mind on the things of God. And everything that we do, everything that we say, our actions, our thoughts, everything should be based upon understanding that we received everything God's already going to give us. God's not going to do anything new. He's already done everything he's going to do. It might become new for you because you've explored it with God. But God's really done with everything he's doing. Quiet in this Christian church this morning. We're going to look at how we train our mind to receive from God. And let me start with this, that our mind is part of our soul. Our mind is part of our soul, and it's the part of us which our faith is established. Our faith is established in our soul, in our mindset. And with our minds, we take possession of what Jesus has already done. Let me tell you, when we took communion this morning, Jesus did everything he's going to do. He's no longer on a cross. He defeated hell. He gave you health. He defeated grave. He defeated death so that you can have eternal life with Jesus. And so we have to get our mindset around it that we can take possession of what Jesus already done. This is the reason why Satan attacks you and I. He tries to attack our mind. He wants to get into your mind and say, listen, he wants to cause confusion and doubt. He wants to get into your mindset and give you fear and hopelessness and put the spirit of laziness on you so that you don't go chase after the things of God. Satan wants to attack your mind so he can kill your dreams. Some of you have dreams that are so big, the only one that can fulfill them is God. The devil is a dream stealer, a dream killer. And it's imperative today that we tame our mind to bring ourselves under submission to God's Word. God's Word we need to submit to. It's not a choice, or it's not something that it sounds good, maybe we should do it this week. It's something that we should submit to. We should submit and bring our mind under God's Word. See, God's Word brings you peace when conflicts happen. God's Word brings you peace when turmoil is happening, when you lose a loved one, when things don't go well, when a plane crashes and burns up on the tarmac and people are, God gives you peace even in the midst of those storms. An earthquake happens, a bombing takes place, something, but you can have God's perfect peace through it all. You might not understand it all. And the devil will come in there and put doubt and fear and unbelief and all that. But you got God's Word that brings peace. See, the spiritual battle we fight today is within our mind. Our victory is attained by what we think. Let me ask you a question this morning. Maybe two questions. Who do you say you are? I know what God says about you. I know what he says about me, but who do you say you are? I know whose you are. You're God's. But who do you say you are? Where's your thinking about yourself? Do you consider yourself the head or the tail? Do you find yourself above or do you find yourself beneath? What you think about yourself can become a reality, good or bad. If you always think you're going to amount to nothing, guess what you'll be? Nothing. If you say you'll never be healed, you'll never be healed, even though God has that right in front of you to grab. So let me encourage you. What you spend time doing, you can master. What you spend time doing, you can master. The more time you spend in the Word, the more you master it. The more you master it, the more you master your life, and the things you find that you used to not be able to do, you can do, because you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. But you've got to train your mind and wrap yourself around it in order to receive from God's Word. Because like I said, Jesus is done doing everything He's going to do. He already did it all on the cross, and He's given you examples, and He's healed the sick. And isn't the Bible saying even greater things you'll do? How about you? I want to do even the greater things than that Jesus did. I mean, Jesus did some great things. I'd like to do some of those things and more. So take a look at John 19 this morning. John 19, verse 28. It's a New King James Version. And I want you to get your mind wrapped around this, that you need to receive everything you can from God this morning. John 19, verse 28. Says, after this, Jesus, knowing that a few things were now accomplished. You know what it says? Didn't He know that all things? That's what it says. Oh, okay. Knowing that all things are now accomplished. So if He knows that all things are accomplished, that means everything's finished, right? There's nothing more to come because it's all done. The structure was built, the foundation was poured, the pipes were put in, the walls were assembled, the drywall was there, it was painted, it was installed, the furniture is in there, you can't put nothing, it is done, it's finished, it's completed, it's perfection. That's what it says here. And that the scripture might be fulfilled, said I thirst. Jesus said I was thirsty. He was on the cross, He was dying, he was thirsty. It says, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. And they filled the sponge with sour wine. It says, and He put it in His mouth. They put it in Jesus' mouth. And so when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. He said that all things were accomplished. All things were completed. Your healing was already taking place before you knew you were sick. You already have the victory, but you haven't experienced it yet, but it's coming, but you can walk in that already. But you got to get your arm around what Jesus is giving you. Pretty hard to hold everything at God. I'm not trying to put my arm around it. I can't put it. That's how much stuff God's got for me. But I was interested in something that God said. It said that now the vessel was full of sour wine. Why didn't it say it was full of wine? And I went, Lord, what? Why are you bringing me that sour wine? Who cares? The sour wine, God was showing me, represented all your sickness, all your disease. It always leaves a sour taste behind. Sour wine. All your sickness smells. People that have disease sometimes smell because of the sickness is eating them from the inside out. It's a sourness. You might have a sour stomach, is usually not making you don't feel well. You ate too much Mexican, or you know, you combined it with some Polish food, and then you ate a popsicle and some ice cream, and you wonder why your stomach's churning and it's all sour. And He gave them the sour. They gave him the sour wine. And Jesus said, hey, I'm done. I've already got all the sourness of this world that I can handle. And He said, it's finished. When Jesus says something's finished, it's finished. You ought to stand on when Jesus said, you're healed, you should stand on that, that you're healed. When Jesus said you're not broken, busted, and disgusted, but you're somebody important, that you no longer have to live and be poor, you ought to receive that from Him. The mind tells you that you're poor because you're looking at the checkbook. But God's saying, look to me, don't worry about the checkbook. Look to me when you give. Oh, I don't have enough to give. When you look to me, See, your mind needs to get around what God did. See, the finished works of Jesus, you got to get this morning, the finished works of Jesus have already been established within your spirit. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you receive the Spirit of God. You got everything that Jesus already accomplished inside of you. Uh-oh. We have to establish those works within our minds in order to see the manifestation of them. When I said Jesus already did everything He's going to do, He already did everything He's going to do. He's not doing nothing new. But when you begin to receive in your mindset what He's done, it's new to you. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. In other words, we've got to tame our minds so that we can receive as reality the finished works of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it was finished. He didn't leave something undone. He didn't go and put everything on except for one piece of the molding strip. He did it all. He didn't paint three quarters of the house and leave the other part not painted. He did it all. It is finished. There was a punch list and Jesus punched all those things out. It says it's finished. We got to place some focus on His Word. We got to get our mind around the Bible to get what's inside of the Bible. See, a wandering mind is the devil's playground. His mental attacks consist of making suggestions to cause you to think in opposition to what the Word says about you. Our attention should be on God's Word. Our state of mind will determine our future. If we're worried and nothing but what we do is complain about everything and everybody, instead of putting our focus on God, then our mind's wrapped around our situation instead of around the person that can fix the situation. We got to get our mind around our situations. We use the Word to do that. Our state of mind will determine our future. God said that our future is bright and our past has been forgotten. But we like to hold on to our past because, feels so good sometimes. We laugh about our past because we've come so far. It doesn't even look like we were that same person. My wife and I were with the kids and we were having dinner. We were explaining about when my wife and I got married and we went on a trip. But we won't say any more, but it was a fun experience and we laughed about it. We had tears streaming down our eyes and said, boy, how far we've come. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Won't say another word about it. But we've learned to tame our mind with the Word of God, not merely by positive thinking. I love these people say, if you just think positive, everything's going to be great. No, you're thinking positive. That's about all you get out of it. You can be a positive thinker. That's all good. But you got to tame your mind with the Word of God. You got to understand and receive everything that Jesus already does. Being positive is a good thing. I don't like to hang around negative people. When people are negative, I try to run from that situation. I don't like negativity. I mean, I know things happen in people's life, but man, when they're negative all the time, I just want to run from them. I want to get by people that are positive. But positive people, just, you know, if they don't got Jesus, they still ain't got Jesus. They can be as positive as they want, but they're going to hell positively. Amen? What we got to do is we got to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. When I jumped in my pool, because it was 113 degrees the other day, I jumped in a pool and I immersed myself completely. I just didn't jump up to my waist, or, you know, I wanted to get immersed because it was hot. I immersed myself. And I think about us, we need to immerse ourselves more in the Word. We got to spend more time in the Word. We use the Word as a tool to change our mindset. No different than you use a wrench to turn something or use a screwdriver to unlock something or whatever that might be. You got to use the word to unlock some of the things that have held you up. You got to use the word as a tool to change your mindset. The word of God will change what has been deposited in your mindset and give you some new outlook. Amen? Taming your mind requires a constant thought check. Let me say that again. Taming your mind requires a constant thought check. We must begin to be aware of what we're thinking about. What are we dwelling on? What are we thinking about? Even though we're going through circumstances, am I dwelling on the situation or can I dwell on God who's bigger than my situation? If I'm receiving from God, it means I've been spending time with God. If I can't recite His words, we said last week, unless I spend time in His Word. How do I know what He said if I didn't spend any time with Him? Take a look at Psalms 119. It's the Amplified Bible. Psalms 119, verse 14. Chapter 119, 119 in Psalms. We've got to get our minds wrapped around things. It says in verse 14, it says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to your ways, your path of life marked out by your law. I will delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget what? Your word. I'm going to wrap myself around the things of God. I'm going to meditate on his precepts. I'm going to respect his ways even though they don't seem right. They don't make sense. It doesn't seem logical to give in order to receive. I'm giving my finances to entrust in God, but the world says take all you can, as much as you can, and sit on your can. But God's ways are different. His precepts and his ways of doing things are different. See, when the enemy attacks us with temptation, he starts by tempting with your thoughts. The devil wants to get into your head first. Why? Because if he can get to your head, he can affect your body. As soon as the devil starts putting thoughts in your head, you got to kill it right there. If you don't, it starts to grow in your life. When you start having that thought about this or that, you better kill it right there. Kill it right there before it begins to take any growth. Kill that bad thought that the devil tried to put in your head. So we can combat those tempting thoughts by speaking and meditating on the Word of God. Take a look at Psalms 119, 147. Let's move back a few more pages. This is the New King James Version. Psalms 119, 147. You got to combat. You got to go fight what the devil's trying to speak in your life. If you're surrounding yourself with music that only talks about the devil, that's going to creep into your mind. That's why I put praise music on. That's why I put worship music on. Amen? Sometimes I even put some good country music on. Amen? Psalms 119, verse 147. It says, I rise before the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help. I hope in your word. My hope is in his word. Amen. My eyes are awake, though the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. It's important. It's vital that we know the Word, that we know some Scripture, because when the enemy launches his attack, we can say that doesn't line up with the Word of God. I've been receiving the Word of God daily. I've been taking my tablet of Scripture every day, and as I'm taking that, that doesn't line up with the Word, so it has to be a lie from the devil. So you have to know your Word. Why? If you don't know the Word, then you're subject to get beaten up. Amen? Sometimes the battle will consist of a moment-by-moment fight, which means you must be diligent, you must be steadfast, you must be immovable concerning the Word of God. You got to know that Word. You may only have certain, maybe if you don't have that Word, you got to call in the name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe that's the only word you know, but that's a good word to know. He's the best person to know, is Jesus. We got to keep in mind that we are fighting from victory, not for a victory. Let me say that again. We got to keep in mind that we're fighting from victory, not for victory. Let me stop there. The devil will already come against you and say you're defeated. But last time I looked, since, you know, I'm connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, last time I looked at the cross there, it was empty. Last time I opened up the tomb to look inside was to make sure that Jesus wasn't there, that he had risen from the dead like he said. We fight from a position of authority. We fight from a position of victory. You got to get your mindset around it. We don't have to allow the devil to defeat us with disturbing thoughts. We're in control. We don't have to give the devil so much credit. Oh, the devil made me do it. The devil's picking on me. The devil. We give the devil so much credit that he doesn't deserve. Sometimes we're just stupid. And we don't want to admit it. We want to blame the devil. The devil's stupid too, but so is you sometimes when you make dumb mistakes. Lay the blame where it goes. You got to understand that you already have the victory in Christ Jesus. You already have the victory. But you have to tame your mind. You have to get your mind trained to receive everything from God's Word. Brings me to the second point, and I'll close shortly. Second point. Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. If you have a blinded mind, God can't access it. And what happens is, if we keep blinded, then we're blinded to God's grace, and so the devil keeps us bound up, tore up, from the floor up. But I have good news that Jesus is here. And he came to help you to receive all that he has. But if you don't spend no time in his word, then you can't receive all that he has for you. And this is what happens about religion. People blame Jesus. Well, this person died, or this person got sick, or that person this, or this situation didn't work, or the house here, or the car this, or this got damaged, or this ain't working, or the washer doesn't work, or dryer ain't going, or this ain't happened. Always blaming something. And then what happens is we get religious about it. Now, I don't know about you. Jesus did not come for religion. He came for relationship. Amen? We need to get our thoughts wrapped around some things this morning. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 3:13. 2 Corinthians 3:13. The New Living Translation. The NLT. I hope this opens somebody's eyes to his word today. 2 Corinthians 3:13 says, "We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face, so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ." Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not anybody else but Christ. Verse 15 says, "Yes, even today when we read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand." In other words, they're religious. Verse 16, "But whenever someone turns," oh, hallelujah, "someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." They're behind the veil. I don't know about my wife, she was behind the veil, but boy, when she got to move that thing, I could kiss her face. Mm-mm. When you get behind the veil, things look a little blurry. I can't see as well. I can't check you out. I can't see if you're really smiling or what's going on. But when you pull away the veil, oh man, now I could see everything. "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Kind of Bride of Christ type thing, you know. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. There isn't religion. There isn't something holding you back and 15 other rules you got to do. There's freedom. Verse 18 says, so all of us who have had their veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Satan has one purpose, and he uses religion to blind the spiritual eyes of many Christians. People do crazy things in the name of the Lord and wasn't even close to being a reality. But I'm with a group of people that understand God and spend time with God, and that their spiritual eyes have been opened. And they're no longer behind the veil, but they're in there with God in the throne room. And that there's no religion, or there's no hang-ups and hold-ups. Jesus came to connect us by relationship, not by religion. I love when people say, so how's your church going? I mean, you got, you know, I know what religion you are. You're a Christian. No, I ain't no religion, man. I'm a relationship guy. I'm connecting you to somebody who can help you. I got someone that can help you get to where you need to go. When we remove the religious veil, we can clearly see God's grace in operation. I don't know about you know about God's grace, but God's grace is unmerited favor, and I get unmerited favor all the time. I don't make excuses for it. I just thank Him for it. I mean, I can't help that I'm blessed. I can't help that I got things going my way. Don't make excuses for that. Oh, Pastor, you have the easy life. Everything goes good for you. Really? Really? I don't think so. But when we get our minds right with Jesus, when we get our thinking right, when I turn over my life and my mindset over to Him, peace comes and favor comes and follows me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I got favor. I got peace. Even in the middle of a storm of my life, I still got peace. Why? Because I've learned to receive. I've trained my mind to receive from God and know that Jesus said it's all finished. It's already done. I'm not going to expect Jesus to do anything more for me. He's already done it all. I got to just do is tap into it. I mean, if there was a vault here with $1 billion in it, and you said, "Well, I'm a little short on money today," you could go in that vault and take the money. Well, you know, I need a couple things for my house today, and you just go in the vault and you take a few bucks and you go to and you take care of it. All my kids are sick and they need a couple, you know, prescriptions or something. You go into that vault of money and you need to take it and you pay for it. Why? Because my mindset is that my Father in heaven is going to supply all my needs. Not all of them except two or three. He's going to accept all of them. Jesus finished it all. Jesus said it was finished. Didn't He say it was finished? So if it's finished, it means it's complete. So if it's complete, I can just access what's mine. But you got to be able to believe it and receive it. Amen? You got to get your minds right. Once you know who you are in Christ, you become dangerous to the devil, and he doesn't like that. The more that your mind is fed with a steady diet of the truth found in the Word of God, look out. You're going to look more like Jesus. Let me close with this illustration. Picture yourself in a boxing ring. Life sometimes feels like you're in a boxing ring. Sometimes you're taking a couple hits, and sometimes you're giving a few hits, you know. And sometimes you're throwing some wild ones like this, and you're getting a little tired. You're a little out of breath. But before you step into the ring, wise thing to do is train and prepare your body and your mind for the fight. I watch fighters all the time, some of these undefeated guys, and they psych the other guy out in the mind. Looks at the guy, gets him nose, kisses the guy, man. Just watch it. It upsets the other guy. He's like, you know, he's affecting his mindset, trying to throw him off his game plan. You try to throw the other opponent off. You try to get into their mind and play a game and get a little fear running in them so that you can win. before you go box, though, you condition yourself for the fight of your life. You wrap your mind around Jesus just for a second. Because, see, if you can understand something, that Jesus is your personal trainer and your coach, and he has all the answers, and he's already gone before you, and knows the beginning and the end, and knows everything in between. He knows your thoughts before you know your thoughts. He knows every hair on your head. That's the guy I want in my corner. Because he's going to know what my opponent and his weaknesses are. But if I'm not connected to Jesus, if I don't have my mindset right, if I don't have my mind wrapped around the things of God and understand that what he's already done, I put myself at a disadvantage. When you study his word, what you're doing is you're training your mind to receive from your personal coach, your life coach, Jesus. Like a boxer, though, you watch what you eat, diet. You and I need a steady diet of his word every day in order to be fit and ready for any fight or anything that comes our way. Prayer and fasting keeps you on track to finish strong. See, when you get Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and he's the one whispering in your ear the weaknesses of your opponent. How is it that I can step into meetings with customers and have such favor even though they hate me? They don't want to give me the order. They don't know why they want to give me the order. They don't want to give me the business, but they want to give me the business. They don't understand why I'm here. Just take the order and do it. Because I understand their weaknesses. God, give me favor. Lord, where are they weak where I can make them strong? Where can I show the value that I can bring to them? Come on, somebody. See, when I step into the ring, I already know I'm the champion. I'm not going to go be champion. I am the champion. I already have the victory in Christ Jesus. I already have the golden gloves. I already wear the belt. Amen. I'm the WWF champion. Praise God. I walk in there. I am the international champion. I am the heavyweight champion. Why? Because I'm stepping in the ring as a champ because who I'm connected to. See, Jesus already defeated the enemy, and he's already placed me in a position of authority and victory. But if I don't believe that he's already finished everything he said he was going to finish, then I'm going to step into something that I might get my butt kicked in. We need to get our mind trained to believe everything that Jesus has already done for us. We got to get our mind wrapped around what he says about us. That you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in. You're blessed going out. Pastor, you say that every week. Yeah, because I believe every day. Everything comes out of my mouth every morning. Why? I'm blessed. I'm alive today. Hallelujah. When I step in, I'm going to be blessed going in. I'm going to be more blessed going out. Come on. Oh, but Pastor, you know, you don't deal with life. You don't know what I'm going through. Really? Really? Well, Pastor, you just don't know. I only got so much. I'm limited. Because you only limit yourself by your own being. I mean, God wants you to grow big, large, and in charge. I walk into a room. I'm already know I'm the champ. I don't walk with arrogance, but I know that I'm a king's kid, man. I'm the king of the Most High God. I serve. I lack nothing. God going to give me the upper hand when I step into the arena of business or whatever that might be. Oh, Pastor, but you know. Well, you're a pastor. No, I'm just like you. The only difference is I want to spend more time in his work because I want to have everything he has. Oh, yeah, sure, Pastor, sure. I'm still training my mind every day. My mind is not completely trained on the things of God. I'm still working some of the old junk out. Amen? But I'm training my mind to receive all the things that God has for me because sometimes I look at stuff and go, wow, that's new to me. I'm still having that, wow, that's new to me. Because I'm always receiving from him. I'm never at a standstill of not receiving. I want to grow. I want to learn. You always learn to grow. You can learn something every day, can't you? Oh, Pastor, I mean, but you got this perfect little family, really. Yeah. I still have numbness in my finger, but I believe that I'm healed. I still have shoulder pain that I can't bend my arm, but I know that I'm healed. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm giving God the glory. I'm taking my eyes off the situation and putting on my eyes on the person who can fix the situation, who can fix my finger, who can fix my shoulder, who can fix me, help me up. Lost a family member that just passed away. Oh, yeah, are you distracted? Yeah, but I know that she's with Jesus. Do you hurt? Yeah, just like you would hurt. But I call it all joy. She got to the finish line a little bit before we did. See, God's shifting some stuff in our lives, and He wants us to receive everything He has. And the devil wants to mess up your mind. Oh, you know, that person's got such and such. And I was watching TV yesterday, and I seen what was his name? Kenneth Copeland. I mean, he spoke for 2.5 hours. I mean, I couldn't speak for 2.5 hours, you know, preach, but he did. I heard that. Maybe if given the chance, I could. But he said, you know, get your mind off of yourself and put your mind on Him. If you got your mindset on Him, then you don't have to worry about anything else. Everything else is going to line up. But we gotta train ourselves to think about the things of God, even during stressful times, even through circumstances, even through trials, even through tests, even through financial pressure. Guess what? Do you trust Him or not? Do you have the scripture that I'll trust in the Lord? When I don't have the answer, and why certain circumstances happen, why this person died, why this person go to be with the Lord, I don't have an answer, but I can still call in the name of Jesus and thank Him. It's not the way I would have liked it to be. I want a person to be around until they're about 120 years old. But God's plans are not my plans. His plans are better than my plans. His plans are to prosper us, to grow us, to be more like Him, to act more like Him. But we have to be willing to train our minds to receive all that He has for us. This morning, all you got to do is let go of all of your own ambition and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and use you and guide you and direct you. All you got to do is let go of your old ways and spend time in His Word, and He'll show you some new ways. Amen? If you allow yourself to be trainable and teachable, you'll be a giant in the kingdom. You might be a giant killer. Sometimes you have to fight a bear before you fight the giant. But if you have your mindset right, God will give you the 3 stones that you'll need and the one that will go right where it's guided to go. But you got to have your mind right. You have to have your mind focused on someone that can help you. You can't help yourself. Oprah Winfrey ain't going to help you. Dr. Phil ain't going to help. Dr. Oz ain't going to help you. There's only one doctor that in the house that can help you, and His name is Jesus. He's the only one that heals my body, touches my mind, and fills me and makes me complete. Jesus already did everything He was going to do. It's finished. It's completed. It's perfected. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. You know who changeth? We change when we receive, when we're willing to be trained by God, when we're willing to be taught by God, when we go through life lessons. Hopefully we don't have to take it 2 or 3 times. I've been there. I flunked it. I had to take the test over again, over again. But then when we catch it, we don't have to take that test again. We graduate to the next level. Amen? So this morning, I encourage you, I implore you, I beg of you, starting today, start to train your mind to receive from Jesus what His Word says. Once you catch it, you can run with it. once you get your mind wrapped around what he's already done and it's finished, there's nothing new. There's nothing more. It's already written. All you got to do is get into it and discover it for yourself. Once you get your mind wrapped around how big God is, your circumstances look really small. Minute. They melt like wax in front of the Lord. Mountains collapse in front of God. Speak to that mountain. Don't know the word? Look it up in the scripture. Speak to your mountain. You look pretty small. Place everything you have into the hand of God, and you'll begin to see supernatural things begin to happen. I used to place them in my own hands, in my own pocket, and spend it where I wanted to spend. Now, if I give it to God, there's something anointed, something supernatural that happens. You're never without when you're with God. But you got to believe it. You got to get your mind wrapped around. But Pastor, I ain't got this or I ain't got that. It's coming. Do you already see it? Do you believe that you got it? Go out and reach it and grab it. You might have to go work for it. May not just come from heaven and drop in your lap and you have a new Mercedes. That don't. You might have to work. But he got you the job. It opened up the door and you stepped in and you were the employee of the month. And they gave you a bonus that paid for that car. That's how God does things. That's how God promotes. I think the days of bringing manna probably going to be done. I pray every day that a sack of $1,000 bills just fall in my lap. Hadn't happened yet. I believe it can happen. It hadn't happened yet. What I have to go do is God opens up the opportunity for me to go get a job, to go work, to go meet somebody that I might be able to touch that might bless the whole church. I had to make myself what? Available. But I had to have my faith level available and ready to be able to maybe share with somebody. Keep my mind right. People don't want to deal with people that are just, woe is me. My wife helps me sometimes when I get a little down. And she goes, oh, okay, Eeyore. You know, woe is me. You lost your tail again today, huh? I said, oh, man, it was a rough day, honey. But she goes, oh, well, I thought you were a mighty man of God. I had to have her encourage me. Amen. She might use a giant stick or a 2x4, but she gets my attention, praise God. Wish it was just a drumstick she would use, you know, just a little poke, you know, like the, you know, Pillsbury Doughboy. No, but sometimes you got to just, boom, get my attention. Amen. Why? Because she don't want to see me moping around. She wants me to be happy. She, you know, yeah, we deal with stuff. But she says, you know, you've been training your mind to receive so long that a lot of stuff don't even bother me. Why? Because I know whose I am, who I'm connected to. Amen? Yeah, you're going to go through some pain in life. But I don't have to stay in that painful position for long. Because I got a comforter. I got a best friend. That's what the Bible, he already did all these things for me. I got a counselor and an advocate. That's what the Bible says. He left me the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Why, how do I know it? That's how I got my mind wrapped around, because I trained my mind to say what the Word says. Yeah, and sometimes you do feel alone, but I start reading the Word, I'm not alone anymore. The Holy Spirit nudges me, comforts me, encourages me, and gives me peace and joy. Just like you can train a dog a new trick, you can condition your body to get more muscles. You can condition your mind to hear and receive from God. Lord, I ask you to bless your people in everything that they do, Lord God. Let them choose Christ. Lord God, whatever they need, Lord God, let them find it in you. Let the favor of God pour upon your people today. And as they leave here, Lord God, they're blessed. Lord God, I know there's distractions and there's turmoil and problems and things, Lord, but we're going to trust you to get us through. We're going to put that problem next to you, the one who has finished the completed work, and it will melt in your sight, Lord God. So, Lord God, we trust you. We believe in you. We thank you. We appreciate you. We get our mindset wrapped around who you are and whose we are. We ask you, Lord God, as we depart from here, that this week be the best week ever. Let there be a hedge of protection around us, keeping us safe, healthy, and whole. Whatever we need, we can call upon your name, our Messiah, our soon coming King Jesus. to help us, to strengthen us, to give us a word, to give us the peace, to give us the joy. I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And your people said, amen and amen.